Amen.
Wow.
It's quite a story, isn't it? It's like this book I'm reading that says, some people think the Bible is boring. And the author said, if you think the Bible is boring, I don't think you're reading the Bible. There is certainly nothing boring about this story. There are things that are strange. There are things that are hard to understand. There are twists and there are turns. There are things that even bring a smile to our face. But it certainly is not boring. And this story is full of action. And it's full of twists and turns. And we're wondering what's going to happen to Joseph. Joseph finds himself in prison, right? In prison. I mean, he kind of made it back to the top in Potiphar's house. He had a position where he was put in charge of everything. Potiphar didn't have to worry about nothing under Joseph's care. But then the accusation comes, and then Joseph gets thrown into prison. This prison apparently is some kind of place that is near Potiphar's house because he's the captain of the guard. And it's a place where the king or the pharaoh, it's where the prisoners go. So there's political prisoners. I'm not sure exactly what the setup looks like, but it's somewhere where Joseph is taken down and in prison he is assigned a place again. And did you notice? He's assigned to serve the cupbearer and the baker who had been put in prison there. Right? So we talked about leadership last week and how being a leader means that you serve and how serving is something that we all do. But again, sometimes, you know, we need to learn that lesson of being able to serve everyone, right? One of our values at Hartford City Church is serve all. And maybe Joseph got to the point where he really enjoyed serving Potiphar. It seemed there was a lot of benefits to doing that, and he got very good at it, and he got very comfortable in his position. But then he's sent down to jail, and now he's assigned again to be a servant to the cupbearer and to the baker. Now he's assigned to take care of the needs of these prisoners in jail. But once again, Joseph does his job so well. The Lord grants him success in everything that he does that we saw just prior to what Jenny read last week. The warden of the jail raises him up to the exact same position that he had in Potiphar's house. He's second in charge to the warden, in charge of everything in the jail, and everything is successful that he does because God grants him success. And the warden doesn't have to worry about anything that Joseph is doing because he's still exercising his gifts. He's still living out the call upon his life. Do you see that? You see that Joseph, in any situation, in any circumstance, he is still the man that God has made him to be, and he is still making choices to do what he can in that situation. And so often in today's world, we let our circumstances determine what we can do, don't we? Well, if I only had this, or if only this would change, or the favorite line that I hear, but you don't understand. And I want to say, you're right. Nobody understands the trouble you've seen. And nobody knows the trouble that I've seen. We don't really understand because every story is unique. Every story is different. But I just know from looking at these stories and hearing stories upon stories upon stories that people can still serve God. Even in the most difficult of circumstances. Even in the place that they're in. And no place is different. If you've ever been in prison and incarcerated, your experience probably isn't exactly the same as Joseph's, right? Because prisons are different and experiences are different and we find ourselves in different situations. But yet there's still a commonality. We know what it's like, those who've experienced that, right? To be in that kind of place, where a place of punishment, a place of bondage, a place of not having the freedom that you once had. Joseph knows that. Joseph knows what it's like to walk through that. Because you see, God is preparing him for the plan that he has for his life. And that's another thing we've been talking about, that everything God does is a preparation. He can use it to prepare us for what he's called us to do. Because God has a call and a dream and a plan and a purpose for every one of your lives. Every single one of your lives, amen? God has a dream, a plan, a purpose for your life, and it will not be thwarted, and he will not take it away, and he will not pull it back, but it will be accomplished through your life. So one of the questions I have when I look at a story like this is that, well then, did God do this on purpose? Did God purposely put Joseph through this stuff? You know, it wasn't his fault, according to this story. You know, it was one of those situations where he was innocent, yet he was falsely accused, and he's suffering a false imprisonment or incarcerated for something that he didn't do. You know, did God do that on purpose? Did God lead him to that? And that's a question that we wrestle with as human beings, isn't it? Does God do these things, these difficult, painful things in our life? Does God send us through those things on purpose? And I think if we say yes, we struggle with that. Because what kind of God would do that? But if we say no, we struggle with that. Because what kind of God would let that happen? Right? You know that most people who really struggle with believing in God and with even coming to church, one of their number one questions is, why does God let these things happen if he is God and if God is good? Well, here's what we know about God from the scripture, from our experience. The providence of God. That God is God. And God can and will do whatever he decides to do. And when we don't understand it, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, we have to trust that even though we don't understand this, that he is still working for our best. But I don't believe that means that God does everything. I don't. Sometimes God does do things on purpose in our lives, but God has also given us free will. And that means we're given an ability to choose, and our choices not only affect our own life, but friends, you need to know this, your choices do affect the lives of other people around you. There is consequences to what we say, to what we do, to what we think. And God's not there just like controlling us like a puppet master. God has given us free will. We have been given and created as independent beings. And we are responsible and accountable for our thoughts and for our actions. And so sometimes, even in Joseph's case, it could just be that the actions of his brothers, the actions of others, he has to live with. So both things I find are true at work. God does do things on purpose and for a reason. Other things God allows and they unfold according to the free will and the choices we have. But the hope of the scripture is not this. The hope of the Bible is not that you get some intellectual understanding of exactly how God works, right? Because if you did, then you would be God and we'd all be scared. You know, I mean, we won't understand everything, right? I love those people who say, when I die and get to heaven, I'm going to ask God all my questions and he's going to answer them. And I'm like, oh, really? So you'll know everything? Then that means you'll be like, God, no, wait a minute. You're not going to know everything, right? There are some things that we just are not going to understand, right? But here's the message. Here's the hope that no matter what the reason is for what's happened to you, that we know that in all things, God is working them for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. That's the providence of God. The providence of God is he can sit back and he's like, oh, you're going to do that? All right. You're going to do that? All right. Let me work this. Let me start working in the way. Because God is writing the story of your life. God is writing an incredible story. And the best stories are filled with conflict. The best stories are filled with moments when you don't think it's going to turn out. And if God is the best story writer ever, then why would he give you just a boring story where you just go from happiness to happiness to happiness, right? Nobody would watch that kind of movie because there's no conflict in it. There's no struggle. There's no growth. There's no progress that's made. And so we see that even in this, Joseph might have thought, God, I'm already prepared. I went through this already. I did this. I understand that I'm supposed to serve you. But God still has to prepare him even more for what Joseph is going to do with his life. So when I say that everyone has a dream, a plan, and a purpose for your life, I want to take a step back for just a second and then jump back into what I'm talking about. And the step back I want to take is, I feel like there might be some people that are thinking, okay, God has a dream for my life. I haven't had a dream like Joseph. I didn't have a dream where things were happening. I saw this, right? Some of you may wonder, what is God's purpose for your life? Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder what God wants you to do? Do you ever wonder what God's will is? Do you ever wonder what his dream is for your life? Do you even have a hard time thinking that the Almighty God of the universe would be sitting right now and have you in his mind and think, oh, I got a dream for you, John. I got a dream for you, Dave. Oh, you don't even know what I've got planned for you. That's difficult for us to comprehend, let alone receive. But today I want to invite you to receive this idea that God has a dream for your life. Hallelujah. That God has a plan for your life. That God has a vision for your life. And remember, it's probably more about who you are than what you do. Just keep that in mind. But here's how I think we can discover God's dream, God's will for our life, because it unfolds slowly over time. All right, four things. First of all, What did you dream about as a kid? What is your dream? What is the dream for your life? Some of you guys hopefully are thinking about that right now, right? Some of you young people, you're thinking about what is God's dream for your life? What do you want to do? Well, you may not end up doing exactly what you thought you were going to do when you were a kid, but there's something within that. There's something within that passion inside of you, right? That is part of what God is doing and working in your life. Because God works with what He's created, amen? Did you hear that? God works with what He's created. You understand what I'm saying? He has created you before you knew Him in a certain way, with a certain shape and a certain bent, right? And God works with what He's created, so He works with what's inside of you. And I want to say, what is your dream? What is your dream of doing? When I was a little kid, I dreamed of being an astronaut. I thought that would be cool because we had an astronaut come visit our school. And he had been in space and he'd been to the moon. And I thought that was cool. Clearly, I did not become an astronaut. I had another dream, and it was about you guys' age. I was going to be a basketball player. And then I stopped growing, and I was like, this is going to be difficult to be a basketball player. I had these dreams. I had these ideas. But inside of those were seeds of what God was doing in my life. Let me illustrate. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to do something where I could have an influence and an experience with other people. And as I dug into it, maybe that part of wanting to be an astronaut, I also wanted to do something new. I wanted to go places where people hadn't gone before, as the old Star Trek show said. There was something within me. And so now I'm embarking on this journey in my life to see if we can plant a new kind of church together that's never been done before in the city of Hartford. There's a seed within what we're doing. And maybe it's time for some of you to dream again. Maybe someone came and they stole your dream. They squashed your dream. They said you can't do that. But maybe it's time for you to dream again. Amen? Some of you this morning, I want you to dream again. I want you to remember what brought you excitement, what brought you joy, how you were wired. What is your dream? Second, what are you good at? What are you good at? Sometimes it's as simple as that. We try to do things and we're just not good at it, right? We're just not made to do that. And again, as we said last week, it's God who grants us success. So another way to say it would be, what has God granted you success in? So if you're thinking about what is God's plan for your life, think about those questions this morning. What is your dream? What is your dream? What are you good at? What has God granted you success in? Because if you've done something and if you've experienced some success in it, that's a signpost of God's direction in your life. The third thing is where we come at it from the other angle. What is your pain? What is your dream? What are you good at? What is your pain? Because oftentimes it's our pain that shows us where God wants us to be. And there's many reasons, but one simple reason I'll share with you as to that is because that's what people can relate to, right? So if God's going to use you to make a difference in someone else's life, we often have a hard time relating to someone that appears so successful and so wonderful. But when we can relate to someone that knows a bit of pain, right? We can relate to someone that's been through the struggle. We can relate to someone that's gone through what we've gone through. In fact, the Bible says that. The Bible says that, listen, you're going through some things and you're going to receive comfort so that when you're through it, you can comfort others with the comfort you yourself have received from the Lord. And you'll be amazed at how many times what you had to go through God will actually use in another situation, and it will just your mind will just be blown by this whole idea. Can I give you a quick example? My wife, who's now with the Seedlings, she had scoliosis when she was like 13 years old, and she had to wear a back brace for a year. So you can imagine, I mean, it's tough enough being in seventh grade, right? I don't know if anybody's in seventh grade here, but it's tough enough being in seventh grade and then to have a back brace. And she didn't understand, you know, why she went through that, but she went through it, she made it through. And years later, we were at a youth conference in Orlando, Florida, and we were part of the prayer ministry team up front, and they invited young people, teenagers, to come forward for prayer if they wanted prayer. And it's thousands of people, and my wife, where they're standing, and this young girl, about 13 or 14, walks up randomly to my wife, and she goes and she puts her hand on her back. And what do you think she felt? The same back brace that she wore. And she knew how to pray for her. She knew in a way that no one else would have known how to pray for her. I know some of you think I'm crying. It's just sweat. I'm just kidding. It's both. Amen. Amen. I get emotional about this stuff. I feel the passion. So what is your dream? What are you good at? What is your pain? And where is the need? That's the last thing. If you just begin to reflect on those questions, what is the dream that God, that you want to do with your life, okay? And what are you good at? Because all of you are good at something. Yes, you are. I'm telling you this morning, all of you are good at something. God will grant you success in certain areas. What is your dream? What are you good at? What is your pain? And how does your pain and your experience speak to you about what God wants you to do? And then finally, where is the need? Where do you see a need? Where God has put it upon your heart? Where God is kind of moving you? You may not even know. You may not even understand. I don't understand why I'm drawn to that. I don't understand why these kind of things always grab my attention. But somehow, some way, God is moving in that because He's taking your dreams. He's taking your gifts. He's taking your pain. And He's bringing you to a place of need so that you can serve others and serve God. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? That is what God is doing in your life. I love this quote, if we can get it on the screen, from the theologian Frederick Buechner. And this quote is very powerful. He describes how we discover God's calling on our life. I don't know if we have it this morning. Do we have it? I'm not sure if we have the quote from Frederick Buechner. No? You know, I'm going to look it up on my phone because I have it on my phone, and then I'll read it to you, all right? So let me look this up real quick. I apologize for that. Sometimes you don't get anything. So here's what he said. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Isn't that powerful? The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. So when you're, what brings you joy? We got it? All right. So what brings you joy, right? With your dreams, your gifts, even in the place of pain, right? Because pain is sorrow is just joy unmasked. You know, that's where we find our joy, is in the pain. And where you see there's a deep hunger, a deep need in the world, when those two things collide, well, you're really, really pretty close to discovering what God's dream and God's will and God's purpose and God's plan is for your life. But take this with you. Remember this. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And God will use you there. And now here's the thing I want to tell you, and it's very simple. It's a verse that comes to my mind often. It's powerful, and I think this story of Joseph really illustrates it just in the best way possible. And this verse is from Romans chapter 11, verse 29. It's simply this: God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. What does irrevocable mean? It means it can't be taken away. It's not going to be taken back from you. So in other words, if I give you a place on the basketball team and I say, I'm not going to revoke it, I'm not going to take it away from you, I'm not going to suddenly come and say, all right, you don't have a place on that team anymore, you're off it. When God gives you His gifts, He gives them to you and He doesn't take them away from you. He doesn't take them away from you. And when He gives His call upon your life, when He gives the purpose for your life, He doesn't take that away from you, regardless of whatever circumstance you find yourself in. And that's what I see in the story of Joseph. I see that Joseph, his call to lead, his call to serve, was not taken away from him. Even though he was put into prison, even though he was taken out of his position in Potiphar's house and put into prison, God's call and His gifts were still upon Joseph's life. And you see him still using his gifts of administration, using his gifts of leadership, and you see he's developing this gift of dreams that he had, and now he's able to interpret dreams. Now he's able to understand the dreams of other people, right? And isn't that amazing? The cupbearer comes to Joseph and tells him of this dream, and Joseph says, well, don't dream interpretations belong to God? I think I got this. And he's walking in the gifts God has given him in the place that God, where he finds himself, right? And so he interprets the dream, and it's favorable, and the cupbearer's like, all right, that's pretty good, right? And then I feel bad for the baker, because the baker's thinking, oh, that's awesome, let me tell you about my dream. He doesn't get the interpretation that's very nice. He doesn't get the interpretation that he wants, but yet the truth is still revealed. The truth, however difficult it is that Joseph is honest to a fault, isn't he? Like, he is honest to a fault. Like, he's going to tell the truth no matter what happens, no matter what the consequence is. But he does. He interprets this dream, and we see that God is placing in Joseph this gift of being able to interpret dreams. And I see in the story of Joseph that his gifts and his call are irrevocable, that they do not get taken away no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, right? And a lot of people will say, because of my circumstance, because of what's happened to me, I cannot serve God. That is a lie. I'm telling you the truth this morning. You can still serve God no matter what has happened to you. Well, I thought I had this gift of God. I thought I had God being able to do this, but because of my circumstances, I'm not able to do this anymore. That's still your gift. That is still your gift. And that is still your call. And some of you today, oh, I pray by the power of God, some of you today will go home and you'll start doing things that you haven't done in a while because you know God has called them to you. Some of you are going to go home and you're going to start drawing again. and you're going to start arriving again, and you're going to start doing some of those things that God has placed in you. And some of you are going to go home, and you're going to give yourself again to what God has called you to do, and you're going to start using your gifts. You know what I'm talking about, right? And sometimes you see it in other people's life, right? Because I do too. I see them like, oh, you know, you're not using your gifts, you know? And you kind of nudge them a little bit, and you try to encourage them along. That very may be the voice of God. I'm not saying it is, but you need to just pay attention to the things in your life where God is saying, listen, I want you to do this. I want you to begin operating in this way. An example of that for me is this lady that is like a spiritual mother to me. Her name is Carmen, Hermana Carmen, and she is from El Salvador, and she lives in California, and I've known her for over 25 years, and she is like a spiritual mother to me. And having known her this long, I've seen what she's had to go through, the circumstances in her life. She has four beautiful, beautiful daughters, and when her oldest was about 14 and her youngest was about 8, her husband decided he was going to leave their family. And he was going to divorce her, leave the daughters, and he was going to marry someone younger and just get in a different relationship. Well, not only that, he was the pastor of their church. So he also left the church that he was pastoring, as well as his family, as well as his children. And Hermana Carmen was left. She didn't have a job at that time, was left without a husband, without a pastor, without a father for her children at that moment. But she is my inspiration, because she continued to serve God in the middle of whatever circumstance she found herself in. And she continued to pray to God. And she actually led that church through that difficult transition. She became the pastor, and then another pastor came, and she continues to serve that pastor. I mean, we praise God for that, right? Praise God for that. Amen. It's different. Believe me, I don't think that she's some kind of saint, you know. I mean, I know some of her sins, and she knows my sins. Let's just put it like that. Like, we know each other like that. But she struggled, but she continued to serve God. She continued to serve God, and no matter what happened, she said, as difficult as this may be, I'm going to continue to serve God. Well, I want to take this to one more place this morning, all right? Because I believe this truth is so powerful that it even transcends this story. So in this story, we see that God's gifts and his call are irrevocable, regardless of what happens to you. Joseph, you know, didn't do anything necessarily to deserve the situation he was in. My friend Hermana Carmen, yes, there's always two sides to every situation, right? But some things that happened to her just happened to her, right? But here's the part I want to take to the next level. No matter what happens to you, and no matter what you do to yourself, no matter what the choices you make that might cause you to walk away from God or to walk away from others, whatever choices you make that you think may disqualify you or may say that you no longer have the right to serve, that is not true, because God's gifts and his call are irrevocable regardless of what you've done. Let me give you a biblical example of that, lest you wonder is what I'm talking about. King David, the greatest king in the history of the Israelites, he had a lot of gifts, he had a lot of skills, and he was called to be the king of Israel. But he messed up. And he messed up pretty bad. He could have any woman he wanted, he could marry anyone he wanted, but he saw this woman, Bathsheba, and she was married to someone else. And he decided, I want her. And he took her. And then he went even further and he had her husband killed. Now think about this for a minute, folks. Think about this. If you had a leader today that did that, you would want that leader to step down, wouldn't you? And that's the way we treat people, right? There are so many pastors, right? Just like my friend's husband. There's so many pastors that they decide that they just can't do it anymore, or they decide maybe I deserve something for myself, or maybe they decide I'm so burnt out on serving God and leading that I need some way to get out and I just can't find a way to step down. But I know if I mess up bad enough, then they'll ask me to step down and then I'll get out of this. I'll get out of what I feel like has become a prison. That's a whole nother sermon. Sorry, when your call-in feels like a prison. I mean, that's a whole nother message. But sometimes we feel stuck in the very thing that God has called us to do, and we're looking for a way out. And what do? We say, oh, that person has been disqualified from being a pastor. That person had, but did they lose their gifts? Don't think so. And then the hard question is, did they lose their calling? Now, we will suffer the consequences of our sin. Make no mistake, King David suffered. King David suffered tremendously. The child that he had with Bathsheba died. They suffered together. He suffered a loss of respect from some of his leaders. He had to go through the consequences that he had to go through. But the thing that fascinates me is he did not get to stop being the king. He still had to do what God called him to do. And I'm saying, even if you've messed up, even if you've made a mistake, you might, as painful as it is, still have to get up and do the work that God's called you to do. You might. Because his call is there. And I've seen pastors, and I'm crying because I can't even tell you how many pastors I know in the last 10 years have left the ministry and left their families. And you may have to sit out for a while, but that doesn't mean God wants you to sit out forever. Amen? You may need to step down. You may need to step out. But God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. So I think at some point, he's going to ask you to step back in. And it might not be what you had before. It might not look the same way. It might be harder in a sense, right? It would be harder to be a pastor, to be a leader after doing so much. But if you go through the process of repentance, of restoration, of healing, right, then God's call is still upon your life. God's call is still upon your life. And I'm going to tell you, I won't go into all the stories, but I want to share this one story. One guy that I know, and I won't mention his name because he's in this area, he stepped out of ministry. But in the job he is in now, who do you think everyone goes to for advice and prayer? It's him. So he is still a pastor in the place that he's working because God's gifts and God's call are what? Irrevocable. Irrevocable. That means they won't be taken away. God's not going to take away his call upon your life. God's not going to take away his gifts upon your life because they are there for a reason. And God is saying, listen, whatever's happened, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, watch me. I can work it. Watch me what I can do. Watch me. I can bring it all together and I can work it together for good. Isn't that amazing? I want to close with this illustration, a powerful illustration of my life of this very point. And this is about a man who was my professor in college. I studied youth ministry, and he was my youth ministry professor at the Bible University I went to in Colorado. And he started that program. He started the youth ministry program. It's one of the best in the nation at Colorado Christian University. He was a pastor just prior to doing that, and he was a professional counselor as well, and he had a counseling practice. And he led this program. And I got a chance to meet him about 17 years after I graduated. We reconnected, we just trying to catch it up on life. And he told me this story that I could not believe had happened. He said, listen, a few years after you graduated, something happened in my life that I need to tell you about. As I had already known, he was a recovering alcoholic. And he had been sober for somewhere between 20 and 25 years. He had not had a drink, a drop of alcohol. And at some point in the course of his life, he thought, you know, this is ridiculous. Everybody seems to be able to have a drink. I think I can do that. After 20 plus years of not having a drink, he went to an event and he had just a glass of wine. He had just a drink. But because he was an alcoholic, it triggered something in him. It triggered something in him that he hadn't felt for over 20 years. And he thought he could just have a few drinks, but he couldn't. Because he's an alcoholic, and the drinking became more and more, and he kept trying to hide it and hide it, and his life began to spin out of control. And eventually it spilled over into the work at the Christian college, and they said, listen, you're showing up late, your work's not up to par, what's going on? And finally it was revealed, and he lost his job at the university. And his family said, listen, we can't live this way anymore. And he lost his family. His wife left him. And his two daughters, who he loved more than anything, were estranged from him. They said, we can't talk to you anymore because your life is reckless. Your life is out of control. But for 25 years, he was sober and he served the Lord in ministry, leading, teaching other people. But he found himself once again an alcoholic, had lost his job, had lost his family, and he got a DUI. In Colorado. And instead of facing up to it, he left. He fled to go to his home state of Montana. And he fled that. And when he got to Montana with no job and no family and no children, he began to drink again. And he began to drink more and more. And he started to get DUIs in Montana. And at one point it got so bad, he told me that he was drunk during the middle of the day in his hometown in Montana, and he passed out in the park in the center of town in the middle of the day. And one of his former youth group members that was working as a lawyer saw him and had to come down and pick him up and take him to the hospital. Well, eventually he went to jail because of the DUIs that he had in Montana. So here's this man, my professor, my mentor, pastor, counselor. He's now sitting in a jail cell in Montana wondering what has happened to my life. Feeling like I've been disqualified from everything that God has called me to. Feeling like I've taken my gifts and I've just spit on them. I've stomped on them. I've turned my back on God, and God has turned his back on me. But don't you know that in that place, in that jail cell, he said God began to speak to me again. He opened up his Bible and he began to read. And as he read, God began to speak and remind him that he loved him, that he created him, that he had called him for a purpose and a plan. And he said, slowly, slowly, day after day, I began to sense the presence of God again. In that jail cell, when everything else was taken away, I sensed the presence of God, and he began speaking to me again. Now, he happened to share a cell, in his words, with the biggest guy that was in the prison, okay? This was the one everyone else was scared of, all right? And so he came over to him and said, RJ, what are you reading? And he got a little nervous because he didn't know how this guy was going to respond. And he said, well, I'm reading the Bible. Amen. And he said, you are? He's like, why don't you tell me about that? And he eventually led this guy to the Lord. Led him to salvation. And his friend said, let's start a Bible study. And RJ's like, okay. So in the jail, the one who had taught and pastored and led is now going to lead. See how your gifts and your call are still with you? In there, he started to lead. And he said about 20, 30 people showed up the first time. He said, I didn't know if it was because my friend was really big or because there was something was going on. But whatever the reason was, the Bible study grew to like 40 people by the time that he left, right? And now RJ is, fast forward, is the head of an international Christian organization. He's the president of Global Action that trains pastors around the world in countries where pastors can't get seminary or formal education. His organization goes and provides training for those pastors around the world. And God is restoring them. God is restoring them. Because God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. And what I want to share with you today is we come to the tables, we come to the place where we experience and remember Christ's sacrifice for us, right? When we remember everything Christ went through. As we come to that, I want to tell you today, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. You see, other people may forget you. The cupbearer, he forgot about Joseph, didn't he? Joseph said, remember me. When you get up into the palace, remember me. Please remember me. And the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. For 2 years, he stayed in the jail. For 2 years, he was forgotten about by everybody else. But God had not forgotten him. And you may feel like you've been forgotten, but I'm here to tell you today that God has not forgotten you. You may think that you are in a place that is so dark, that is so deep, that there's no way out, but God is with you in the middle of that place. You may think that your plan has been thwarted, but God is still working in your life. You may think you've been disqualified for some reason from serving God, but God is preparing you. God is working in your life because God has a plan and purpose for your life, and he's preparing you for it. And that's the word of the Lord today. And as we often say as pastors, it's a word for me. It's enough if I hear it, because just recently, God spoke to me. God said, Phil, I'm preparing you for what I have planned for you. I was like, God, it's been tough. I've lost a lot of people in my life this year. It's been tough. God said, I'm preparing you. I'm preparing you for what I have planned for you. And I believe God said it, and I'm preparing you for what I have planned for you. It's a word for me, but it's a word for you. If anybody needs that word this morning, take it, please. Please take it. Maybe you need to hear, amen, that God is preparing you for what God has planned for you. because God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. In a couple weeks, we're going to see that eventually that cupbearer does remember. His memory gets jogged, and we're going to journey on in his story and see what happened with Joseph. But for today, it's enough to know that God has not forgotten you. That his gifts and his call in your life, you need to discover them. You need to figure them out. What is your dream? What are you good at? Where is your pain and where is the need? Those things will help you discover. And once you discover that, I want you to know that no matter what happens to you and no matter what you do, God's gifts and his call will never be taken away from you. You'll never be disqualified. You may have to sit out for a while, but God's going to use it so that you come back stronger than ever. Amen. Stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and begin to play just as we seek God's presence this morning.